Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're in Maseches Psachim Daf Nun. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara brings an incident when Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's son, Rabbi Yosef, got sick and slipped into a comatose state. Rashi says that he expired and his soul left his body. His soul eventually returned to his body, and when he awoke, he told his father, Om Hafuch Reisi, I saw an inverted world. El Yonim Lamata V'Tachtanim Lamala. The ones who are uppermost in this world are below in Olam Haba, and the lowly in this world are above in Olam Haba. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said to his son, B'ni Olam Baru Reisa, my son, you have seen a clear world. He then asked Rabbi Yosef how we, Talmud Chachamim, are regarded there. Rabbi Yosef answered, just as we're regarded here, so are we regarded there. His father asked what they were saying there, and his son replied that he heard them saying, Ashri Misha Bala Kan, V'Talmudu B'Yado. Fortune is he who comes here, and his learning is in his hand. Point number two, the Gemara brings a pasuk from Zechariah that says, and Hashem will become king of all the earth. On that day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be one, and his name will be one. The Gemara asks, is Hashem not one today? And Rav Nachman Yitzchak answered, the world to come is unlike this world. In this world, Hashem's name is written with the letters Yud Hey, and it's pronounced with the letters Aleph Dalet. But in the world to come, it will all be one, meaning it will both be pronounced and written with the letters Yud Hey. Related to this, Rabbi Avina contrasts the two parts of a pasuk from Parsha Shmos. It says, Zeh Shmi Olam, this is my name, Olam forever, which indicates Hashem's name should be hidden, as La'aleh means to conceal. Whereas immediately after in the pasuk it says, Vezeh Zichri L'dor V'dor, and this is my mention from generation to generation, which implies that the name is mentioned. Rabbi Avina resolved the contradiction. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Lo kishani nichtav ani nikra. I, meaning my name, am not pronounced as I am written. I am written with the letters Yud Hey, but I am pronounced with the letters Aleph Dalet. And point number three, Rava pointed out a contradiction between two psukim. It's written, Ki gadol ad shemaim chazdecha, for great until the heavens is your kindness, and it's written elsewhere, Ki gadol me'al shemaim chazdecha, for great above the heavens is your kindness. So does the reward from Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is referred by your kindness, originate above the heavens or only until the heavens? The Gemara answer is kan ba'osin l'shma v'kan ba'osin shelo shma. Here in the second pasuk, it's referring to those who perform a mitzvah for its own sake, for no purpose other than to fulfill Hashem's will. So they'll receive reward from above the heavens, meaning supernaturally. In the first pasuk, it refers to those who perform a mitzvah not for its own sake, but for personal gain, and they'll receive reward until the heavens, which means through natural means. This statement is like Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, a person should always engage in learning Torah and doing mitzvahs even though not for its own sake, because from doing them not for their own sake, he'll eventually come to do them for their own sake. Once again, the three points are, number one, the Gemara brings an incident when Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's son, Rabbi Yosef, got sick and slipped into a comatose state. Rashi says that he expired and his soul left his body. His soul eventually returned to his body, and when he awoke, he told his father, Om Hafuch Reisi, I saw an inverted world. El Yonim Lamata V'Tachtanim Lamala. The ones who are uppermost in this world are below in Olam Haba, and the lowly in this world are above in Olam Haba. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said to his son, B'ni Olam Baru Reisa, my son, you have seen a clear world. He then asked Rabbi Yosef how we, Talmud Chachamim, are regarded there. Rabbi Yosef answered, just as we're regarded here, so are we regarded there. His father asked what they were saying there, and his son replied that he heard them saying, Ashri Misha Bala Kan, V'Talmudu B'Yado. Fortune is he who comes here, and his learning is in his hand. Point number two, the Gemara brings a pasuk from Zechariah that says, and Hashem will become king of all the earth. On that day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be one, and his name will be one. The Gemara asks, is Hashem not one today? And Rav Nachman Yitzchak answered, the world to come is unlike this world. In this world, Hashem's name is written with the letters Yud Hey, and it's pronounced with the letters Aleph Dalet. But in the world to come, it will all be one, meaning it will both be pronounced and written with the letters Yud Hey. Related to this, Rabbi Avina contrasts the two parts of a pasuk from Parsha Shmos. It says, Zeh Shmi La'olam, this is my name, La'olam forever, which indicates Hashem's name should be hidden, as La'aleh means to conceal. Whereas immediately after in the pasuk, it says, Vezeh Zichri L'dor V'dor, and this is my mention from generation to generation, which implies that the name is mentioned. Rabbi Avina resolved the contradiction. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Lo kishani nichtav ani nikra. I, meaning my name, am not pronounced as I am written. I am written with the letters Yud Hey, but I am pronounced with the letters Aleph Dalet. And point number three, Rava pointed out a contradiction between two psukim. It's written, Ki gadol ad shemayim chazdecho, for great until the heavens is your kindness. And it's written elsewhere, ki gadol me'al shemayim chazdecho, for great above the heavens is your kindness. So does the reward from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is referred by your kindness, originate above the heavens or only until the heavens? The Gemara answers, kan ba'osin l'shma v'kan ba'osin shelo l'shma. Here in the second pasuk, it's referring to those who perform a mitzvah for its own sake, for no purpose other than to fulfill Hashem's will. So they will receive reward from above the heavens, meaning supernaturally. In the first pasuk, it refers to those who perform a mitzvah not for its own sake, but for personal gain, and they will receive reward until the heavens, which means through natural means. This statement is like Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, "Wohom yasek adam b'torah u'mitzvahs afu pishaloshma, shematok shaloshma baloshma." A person should always engage in learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, even though not for its own sake, because from doing them not for their own sake, he'll eventually come to do them for their own sake. All right, so now we go to our sim for Daf Nun, and our simon is a nincompoop. A nincompoop is like a silly, foolish person. So here goes. The nincompoop who practiced doing handstands to prepare for Olam Haba and hid pieces of paper with Hashem's name around the house, said his own name whenever he learned and did mitzvos. Once again, slow motion. The nincompoop, that must be one Daf Nun. The nincompoop who practiced doing handstands to prepare for Olam Haba, which reminds us that when Rabbi Yosef got sick and his soul left his body and saw an Olam Hafuch, an upside-down world where the Elyonim were Lamata v'Tachtonim Lamala, the ones who are uppermost in this world are below an Olam Haba, and the lowly in this world are above an Olam Haba, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, his father, said to his son, B'ni Olam Baru Re'isa, my son, you've seen a clear world. He then asked Rabbi Yosef how we, Talmud Chachamim, were regarded there, and Rabbi Yosef answered, just as we're regarded here, so we're regarded there. His father asked what they were saying there, and the son replied that he heard them saying, Ashrei mi shebaa kan b'talmud b'yado. Fortunate is he who comes here and his learning is in his hand. So the nincompoop who practiced doing handstands to prepare for Olam Haba and hid pieces of paper with Hashem's name around the house, which reminds us that the Gemara asks what it means when the pasuk says Bayomahu Yashem Achad Shmo Achad, that one day Hashem's name will be one. Isn't it one now? It means that whereas we write Hashem's name with the letters Yud, Hey, and so on, we pronounce the name with the letters Aleph, Dalet, but in the future it will be written and pronounced with the letters of Yud, Hey. This is alluded as well in the pasuk Zeh Shmi La'olam V'Zeh Zichri La'dor V'dor. This is my name, which is La'olam forever, but means also La'olam to be hidden, referring to the Yud Kei name, whereas the one to mention is the Aleph Dalet name. So the nincompoop practiced doing handstands to prepare for Olam Haba and had pieces of paper with Hashem's name around the house, said his own name whenever he learned and did mitzvahs. Which reminds us, the Gemara brought a contradiction between the two psukim, Gigodo ad shemayim chazdecho, for great until the heavens is your kindness, and Kigado me'al shemayim chazdecho, for great above the heavens is your kindness. So does the reward from Hashem, which is referred by your kindness, originate from above the heavens or only until the heavens? So the great answer is, kam ba'osin l'shma, kam ba'osin l'shlo l'shma. Here, in the second pasuk, referring to those who perform a mitzvah for its own sake, for no purpose other than to fill Hashem's ratzon. They will receive reward from above the heavens, meaning supernaturally. In the first pasuk, it refers to those who perform a mitzvah not for its own sake, but for personal gain, and they will receive reward from until the heavens, meaning through natural means. And this statement is like Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, "Wolom yasuk adam b'toru mitzvahs afu b'shaloshma, shematok shaloshma baloshma." A person should always engage in learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, even though not for its own sake, because from doing them not for their own sake, he will eventually come to do them for their own sake. So once again, the nincompoop who practiced doing handstands to prepare for Olam Haba and had pieces of paper with Hashem's name around the house, said his own name whenever he learned and did mitzvos. All right, now it's time for a four-block back chazara. Daf Mem Vav. So the Simra Daf Mem Vav is a cow going moo. So here goes. The dough-kneader and minion-seeker who rented cows. Cows? That must be one Daf Mem Vav. The dough-kneader and minion-seeker who rented cows for a four-meal journey, which reminds us that 4 meals is the amount of distance that a dough kneader must go to Tovo's customers, Tamei Kalim, a traveler needs to travel to find a minion and to do Netilas Yadayim, and the amount of time for edible skins to be tanned to lose their status of food and adopting a couple tumah. Now, this is only 4 meal in front. Traveling in the direction with which one came only requires traveling less than a meal. So the dough kneader and minion seeker who rented cows for a 4 meal journey met someone along the way who couldn't figure out how to separate challah from Tamei dough on Pesach. Which reminds us that there's a three-way machlokes on how to separate challah from tamei dough on Pesach. Bake, then separate, or put in cold water, or just set aside since it's no longer the owner's dough, but the collective property of the Kohanim. So the dough kneader and minion seeker who rented cows for a four-meal journey met someone along the way who couldn't figure out how to separate challah from tamei dough on Pesach, and didn't know the chacham behind him couldn't know his designation of challah. Which reminds us that initially the Gemara says that the point of difference between Rabbi Yezer and Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah regarding how to separate challah from Tamido and Pesach is whether they hold Tovas Hana Mamon. But then the Gemara says that perhaps everybody holds Tovas Hana in a Mamon. And the Machlokas is if they hold of Hoyo. Rabbi Yezer holds that since he can go to a Chacham to annul his designation of challah, it's considered his property even now. And Rabbi Shua does not say Hoyo, and therefore it's not considered his property, and therefore he can keep it in his possession. Daf Mem Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Mem Zayin is a maze. So here goes. After baking the lechem upani Erev Yantav or Yantav that falls on Erev Shabbos, the Kohanim are given 10 days in the maze. Maze? That must mean we're on Daf Mem Zayin. After baking the lechem upani Erev Yantav or Yantav falls on Erev Shabbos, the Kohanim were given 10 days in the maze before it was eaten. Which reminds us, Rabbah asked Rav Chisda that if Midr writes that Tzarchi Shabbos are done in Yantav, and it's only prohibited Midr Rabbanan, why does the baking the lechem upani need to occur Erev Yantav if a Yantav falls on Erev Shabbos? Why doesn't it override the prohibitions of Yantav? As we have a rule that the injunction of the Rabbanan, Ashvus, does not apply in the base of Migdash. Rav Chisda answers, Shvus Krova, Hitiru, Shvus Rechoka, Lo Hitiru. They permitted a Shvus for an immediate purpose, but they didn't permit it for a distant purpose, meaning for the eating of the Lechem Pani on the subsequent Shabbos. Rav Chisda points out that Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees with the Tana of the Braisa and holds Shvus Rechoka Nami Hitiru. A Shvus is permitted for a distant purpose as well. So after baking the lechem upanim Erev Yantav, for a Yantav that falls in Erev Shabbos, the Kohanim were given 10 days in the maze before it was eaten, to find the Shtei Alechem not made for them, which reminds us Rav Mari challenged Rav Chisda from the first part of the Mishnah that teaches that the Shtei Alechem which are offered on Shavuos are baked Erev Shavuos. Rav Mari asks that if Tzarchi Shabbos may be prepared on Yantav, the Yomtav Meyomtav Mabai, is there any question that one is permitted to prepare for the needs of Yantav on that very Yantav? Yet the Mishnah teaches they must be baked the day before. So the Gemara answers that the lach is different there. Damar kral lechem, lechem, v'lo gavo, because the puzzle regarding preparing food on Yantav says for you, which teaches that you may prepare food on Yantav only for yourselves, but not for Hashem, meaning the offerings. According to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who said in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Askan, the baking on the Shtei Lechem does override Yantav, the word lechem is coming to exclude preparing on Yantav for Nachrim. So after baking the lechem upon Erev Yantav, for a Yantav falls on Erev Shabbos, the Kohanim were given 10 days in the maze before it was eaten to find the Shtei Lechem not made for them, resting on top of deraisa, muksa wood. Which reminds us, the Rabbah holds that muksa is a deraisa based on the pasuk Vayabi Yom Hashishi, the Echinu Asher Yaviu, on the sixth day they shall prepare what they bring, and its prohibition is from the pasuk Losasa Komalacha, you shall not do any malacha. Rabbah understands that the pasuk referring to preparation cannot be referring to cooking and baking, since the Torah states elsewhere that they should cook or bake the man. Rather, the pasuk commands the people to prepare the man by declaring they'll use it on Shabbos, for otherwise it will be forbidden for use as muksa. Abai goes on to challenge Rabbah. Daf Memches. So the sim for Memches is brainiacs. Brainiacs. So here goes. While some brainiacs, that must mean we're on Daf Memches. While some brainiacs were busy calculating the statistical probability that uninvited guests would arrive, which reminds us, the Rabbi Yezer who permits baking the loaves of Tamei dough on Pesach before being mafrish challah doesn't necessarily hold of hoyo, like Rabbah, who holds that one is not chayav for baking on Yantav for chol because guests might arrive. Rapapa explains that in Rabbi Eliezer's case, at the time of baking the loaves, each one is fit to be eaten by the baker himself. However, he might forbid baking on Yantav for a weekday use, since it's not fit for himself since he's already finished his Yantav meals, and he doesn't apply hoyo since he has not invited guests and has no reason to anticipate their arrival. So, while some brainiacs were busy calculating that statistical probability that uninvited guests would arrive, to eat their loaves of bread combined in a basket for a freshes challah, which reminds us, Rabbi Ezra says, Harodim enosim l'sal, hatsal masarfin l'challah. When one removes baked loaves from an oven and puts them in a basket, the basket combines them in regard to challah. Rabbi Yeshua says, Tanim masarfin, the oven combines them even if they're not then put in a basket. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Kikro shel babel shenoshko zob mzo mitzarfos, Babylonian loaves which bite one another, which means that they stick to each other, so when pulled apart, a piece of one remains to the other, that they combine. So while some brainiacs were busy calculating the statistical probability that uninvited guests would arrive to eat their loaves of bread combined in a basket for Hafrashas Challah, others observed dough on a table and carefully mapped out the various crack formations. Which reminds us, seer, which Rashi says is complete leavened dough, must be burned, but one who eats it is patur from karas and malkus. Siduk, which is dough that is past the seer stage and has cracks in it as a result of chimitz, must be burned, and one who eats it is chayav karas. Rav Yehuda says seer is dough that has developed cracks like karnei chagavim, like the antennae of locusts, and siduk is where the cracks interlace with one another. The Chachamim hold that any dough with cracks is siduk, and seer is any dough whose surface has turned pale, like the face of a person whose hair stands on end because of fright. Daf Memtes, so the Simmer Daf Memtes relate to meat, and we use a butcher. So here goes. The brilliant butcher realized he forgot chametz at home while on his way to eat at his future father-in-law's house, which reminds him of the different halachas for one who leaves his house and forgot he had chametz at home. If he left to perform a mitzvah like to shech the carbon pesach or to eat a sudas erison at his father-in-law's house, if he has time to go back and do beer, he should, otherwise he should be mevat the bolibo. If he left to rescue Jews from a dangerous situation, he should just do a bittul. And if he went to establish his makom shvisa for an optional purpose, then he should return immediately and dispose of the chametz. So the brilliant butcher realized he forgot chametz at home while on his way to eat at his future father-in-law's house, had sold his entire butcher shop to marry a Bastam the Chacham, which reminds him it was taught in a Brais Alom Yimkar Adam Komash Yeshua Yisav Bastam the Chacham. A man should always be prepared to sell all he owns and marry the daughter of a Tam Chacham or marry off his daughter to a Tam Chacham. Mashal Inve Geffen be Inve Geffen Davin Naum Skabel. Such a marriage is analogous to the grapes of a vine with the grapes of another wine, where each grape improves the taste of the other. We have another Brais listing the preference for who one should marry if he can't find a Bas Talmud Chacham. So the brilliant butcher, who realized he forgot chametz at home while on his way to eat at his future father-in-law's house, had sold his entire butcher shop to marry a Bas Talmud Chacham, leaving behind his former years as an Amaretz who wanted to bite like a donkey. Which reminds of the great degree of sinah that Amei Aretz have for Talmud Chachamim, and of Rabbi Akiva's recollection that when he was an Amaretz, he wanted to bite Talmud Chachamim like a donkey and break their bones. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos Shabbos and Erevin. Number 1. Which daf do we learn that from the pasuk Bayomahu Yi Hashem Echad Shema Echad, then the future will pronounce the Kodesh Baruch Hu's name the way that it is written? That's on daf? None. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn that Rabbi Yochanan learns that Hetimat Star for Isser applies to Isseri Nazir, which he learns from Mishras? That's on daf? Memdal. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we learn that Pasuk She'ipsha Moldi Lof, that's inedible to human, and is Truma and Tahor, it can be burned with Tami Truma, even according to Rabbi Yossi? That's on daf? Mem Hei. Good. Number 4. Which daf does Rabbi Akiva recall his hatred of Talmud Chachamim when he was an Amaretz and his desire to bite them like a donkey? That's on daf? Mem Tes. Good. Number 5. Which daf do you want, according to Rabbi Eliezer, putting baked loaves in a basket is mitzvah of them for Afrash's challah? That's on daf? Mem Ches. Good. Number 6. Which daf do you learn that Rabbi Yosef told his father that he saw an Olam Hafuch where people were saying, Ashrei mi shebala kan b'talmud b'yado? That's on daf? Nun. Good. Number 7. Which daf do you learn the difference in schar between those who learn and do mitzvahs l'shma and those who don't? That's on daf? Nun. Good. Number 8. Which daf do you learn that the reason the Shtei Lechem is baked Erev Shavuos is that we learn from Lechem that one may only prepare food on Yantim for yourselves, not for offerings? That's on daf? Mem Zayin. Good. Number 9. Which daf do you learn the halakas for whether one who left home and forgot some chametz needs to go back and do biur, or if bittul is enough? That's on daf? Mem Tes. Good. Number 10. Which daf do you learn the reason the lechem pani is baked Erev Yantiv, if Yantiv is Erev Shabbos, is Shvus Krova Hitiru, Shvus Rechoka Hitiru? That's on daf? Mem Zayin. Good. Now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which daf do you learn about Yad Salgadis Bo? That's on daf? Mem. Good. Number 2. Which daf do you learn that the wealthy deserve kavod? That's on daf? Peivav and Erevin. Good. And number 3. Which daf do we have malchus regarding the pshat and the pasuk va'asafta diganecha? That's on daf? Lamed hei and brachas. Excellent. That concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Gorman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.